Hi, thank you for joining us at U Inc. My name is Rhea Greif, and I'm here with you today, as I am every week, to help build the most important brand in your life, which is you. When we talk about building, we use tools, and the same goes for building our brand. These wellness tools will help elevate your emotional intelligence and help to lead you in a successful and enjoyable direction in life and in business. Some of these tools you will find helpful today, and some you will put away in the drawer for another time, depending on when you will need this week's tool, which is dual career relationships, and why it is important to master this tool in order to face business and life and your partner with a positive outlook and a commitment to making it work by including this tool in your life once I've demonstrated to you that this is a great tool for your brand. The heteronormative society of the past is gratefully no longer in existence, but with this comes the challenge of having a relationship with a partner who has a career like you, and that is the case for over 80% of the couples out there. How to juggle time? How do we prioritize and throw kids into the mix? And we have an ongoing struggle. What I would like to do is talk about some basic ways you can master having a dual career relationship so that both partners feel appreciated and respected in terms of their constraints. Both partners have the room to grow, and both partners feel there is equity and parity. Okay, so let's break this down. Regardless of where you are in your relationship, it is a good idea to go through these best practices so that you and your partner can maximize your investment in each other. And it is exactly that, an investment. And over time, this investment will either do well or not, depending on what you put into it. First off, let's start on a high note. You and your partner share what is going well. How you have been divvying up responsibilities. What has your partner been doing or saying that makes you feel good about your career? How you both have been actualizing your dreams and your visions with your partner's support. How you've been taking care of one another when the pressure was getting to be too much. How you celebrated your successes together. And if you need to do this again and reignite yourself, one resource that you can utilize is the 36 questions that lead to love and other types of couple Q&A games. Secondly, let us examine our values. There were certain values you shared when you first got into your relationship. It is important to examine those every so often to be sure you're both on the same course. Thousands of planes land at the right airport at the right time because pilots do course corrections throughout the flight. Either there is turbulence or to avoid a storm or another airplane is delayed and is in our flight path. So the same applies in a relationship. It is important to periodically reevaluate those values and make the necessary corrections as careers flourish or stagnate or become more demanding or stressful or time-consuming. And you can do this by using some exercises in the books like Stop the Fight by Michelle Brody. Third, what do you do when your priorities begin to compete with one another, which will periodically happen? Other than revisiting what has been working well or taking stock of our values to help give us guidance, here are some other ideas to investigate during those times of clashing importance. Whose turn is it? Whose career is more important right now? It is tough to give in to this idea, but for dual career relationships to be sustainable, there will be times where one partner may need to take a back seat. Fourth, it is important to nurture the couple aspect of the relationship as well, and I don't mean sexual health, although that is extremely important, so much so that it is a U Inc. tool for another show. But outside of sex, couples need to continue to date one another, express gratitude, give compliments, go out and have fun together, laugh together, and it doesn't have to be fancy restaurants and paying babysitters. After the kids go to bed on a Friday night, my husband and I like to make some popcorn, get in our comfy clothes, and put on some stand-up comedians on Netflix, and we have a blast. But a cautionary statement here. Couples also need to be individuals. Have some of your own friends and interests. No need to share everything. And don't expect your partner to fulfill all your needs. It's not going to happen. A word about children. Especially in contemporary society where nuclear families are the vast minority, we really need to have discussions around our parenting styles and child-rearing beliefs. Know that you won't always agree, but you need to commit to a plan of attack. You will inevitably disagree in front of the kids at times, and that's okay. Say I'm sorry and move on. Let each partner have a unique relationship with each child and enjoy your children. But in terms of dual careers, you may need help. The good news is that with dual careers, you might have extra money to pay for a sitter, hire an au pair, to have services such as house cleaners, laundry, or even food delivery options to help with meals. So, please, add in those artificial supports as much as possible. And last, The thing to consider when mastering dual career relationships is to be nice. Using kind words goes a long way. In fact, world-renowned power couple and the authority on marital stability and divorce prediction, based on 4 decades of research with thousands of couples, John and Jill Gottman claim that couples that use words that are kind and nice stay together. And I found their website incredibly resourceful, and you can find the links to the books that we mentioned on our show, You Inc., and on our website, WCBE.org. Just to click on the You Inc. tab and you will find them, as well as a podcast of today's program. Never go to bed angry. And that is a quote from my father-in-law, Murray. My baby takes the morning train. He works from 9 to 5 and then he takes another home again to find me waiting for him. My baby takes the morning train. And thank you for joining us on You Inc. You are listening to 90.5 WCBE. Speaking of couples, we have one in our studio today, April and Kyle Katz. April and Kyle have been married for 12 years. They have 5 children together, are Bexley residents, and not only are they dual career relationships, but also both successful practitioners of real estate. Kyle Katz, with Katz Development, is an entrepreneur, and since his return to Columbus in the mid-80s, has been delivering the experiences that he has felt that were missing in the city. These things have spanned from galleries to nightclubs and restaurants, and his main focus has been the adaptive reuse of mixed-use properties, the most well-recognized one being the Buggy Works building. And he's also very dedicated and has dedicated a lot of time to social service agencies. April Zimmerman Katz is a Harvard graduate and owner and managing partner at the Zimmerman Companies that build, own, and manage residential communities in the city, and will be bringing the Deco online in spring of 2017, a mixed-use community in Clintonville, and is also the owner of the Olympic Indoor Tennis Club in Clintonville. Welcome, April and Kyle. Wow, after everything that I've read about the two of you, I think the thing that sticks out the most is that you did all of this with 5 kids. That's amazing. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So your children are all grown now, and they appear to be doing very well.
5 are grown.
I'm sorry?
3, you said they're all grown?
How old are the littlest girls?
5th and 3rd grades.
Okay, 5th and 3rd grades. Wow, so they're still little.
Yes. We have 2 at home.
Okay, great. So what's it like when you have little ones at home, or when the other ones who were younger also were at home? What's it like when you have both and you have a full-time career? One thing we talked about was couples kind of giving in, maybe taking a back seat. So did one of you do that for each other? Did one of you take a turn and prioritize your career and your children differently?
We had a great team of people who helped us do all of the things that we needed to do. And we felt very blessed that we have family. We were able to have full-time help in the house. Mm-hmm. We also, early on, were in different businesses. So what was going on in the economy shifted the focus of what each of us were doing at the time. And so we just sort of naturally had shifts in our time and our focus. And whoever was not as busy got to spend more time at home. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say that we had made a conscious decision that one was going to hold back and the other one was going to go forward.
You know, and I had gotten married relatively late in life. I was 42 years old. Mm-hmm. And I'd worked like a dog for most of the time prior to that. Mm-hmm. So, frankly, the marriage and children were also new to me, and it was what I wanted to dive into. Mm-hmm. I was also, if you will, blessed/cursed by a recession. Mm-hmm. Which really largely sidelined me from 2007 in terms of development and gave me the time to spend with kids. Mm. So I had the chance to get them up, give them breakfast, get them at school, and have fun with them after work.
How nice. Mm-hmm. So you didn't feel the need to have that conversation. It just kind of organically happened.
Yeah, I think it's organic, and it's also an involuntary exercise. Mm-hmm. Because it's not always something you can plan, because it's not what you necessarily, what happens isn't what you anticipate. Mm-hmm. It's an organic exercise in and of itself. So you just follow the needs and you do what you have to do.
Right.
That's probably true of all couples.
Right. Well, at least those that are attentive enough to each other, you know, they would be able to kind of see that need opening up and kind of jump in.
Yeah.
Right. April, your company has started, the Zimmerman Companies has started a GoFundMe page on becoming a housing hero. But before you tell us that, there's something that I noticed. when I was looking at the page, I noticed, Kyle, that you made a substantial donation. Couldn't you just give her the money at home?
No, because we needed to make a statement. That is that I support my wife and yes. her, whatever she does. Also, the Community Shelter Board, which is the beneficiary, is near and dear. Mel Schottenstein, who was a founder, and really, I think it was his seminal thought that began the whole process. One of his goals was to create a city that his children would want to move back to. Mm-hmm. And I share that, although Mel's not with us anymore, I share that ambition. Mm-hmm. And so projects like the one Mel, and he, many, he had impact in so many areas. But in this area, I thought it was important to follow April's lead.
April, can you tell us a little bit about the Housing Hero Project?
Well, we're in housing. We provide apartments all over the city, and we also have great members that belong to Olympic Tennis. We are fortunate in so many different ways. We have incredible employees and people that we work with. As we're headed into the holiday season, I felt that it was appropriate as a company that we look to the needs of those who are not as fortunate in housing. It seemed like a natural fit for us. Mm-hmm. And so we launched it on Giving Tuesday, and we said we would match any of the donations, which is, I think, also why he didn't give me the money at home, because he wanted me to double it. So very clever, which we were happy to do, of course. But we launched it then, and we'll be doing it all month, and we have pushed it out to all of our residents, all of our members, and our own personal Facebook pages, anyone who wants to be a part of it.
So you guys are both in the same industry that we talked about. Do you guys ever give each other advice? And is it unsolicited sometimes? And how do you handle that in that dual career relationship dynamic?
We give each other advice all the time.
Whether wanted or not. Okay. Does that answer your question about
yes.
unsolicited advice?
Yes.
Now,
yes,
I learned very early on that unsolicited advice is not appreciated. And sometimes listening and just sitting still with ears open is a lot more productive for the relationship. Mm-hmm. So what's taken me some time to learn, I've now mastered. Mm-hmm. So April knows my expertise fairly well after this amount of time. When she feels I can help, she'll ask a question and I will give the best possible advice I can.
Wonderful.
We have different skill sets also. And the farther we get along in our businesses and in our relationship, we have a better understanding and appreciation for our business skill sets. So where Kyle's is in development work, mine is more in management. And so it's a great fit. So when I need his help in putting something together, he's got all the ideas. And if he needs help in running something.
It's a great division of labor.
Yeah.
I think if you had a couple on that did the exact same thing, their experience would be radically difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Different and difficult. Mm-hmm. So
Is that how you guys met? Were you guys on the same project?
No, this is the typical big brother marries little sister's best friend story.
Nice.
That's where this came from.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very good. Okay. So, April, you were on the set of a photo shoot for Captains of Industry. And you were there with others like Gene Smith and Katie Smith, who were also here on U Inc. And Kyle showed up on set. I was there. And I'm sure people were wondering, did you ask him to be there? Did he surprise you as an act of love? What happened?
He had indicated that he might swing by.
Mm-hmm.
There were people there that he knew.
Mm-hmm.
The mayor was there, Mayor Coleman, who actually married us.
Oh, wow.
So that was fun. And yeah, and I wasn't sure if he was going to show up or not, but it was nice when he did.
Okay.
And I think I was pretty much still in hair and makeup, so I didn't really get to see him. I think he got to see everyone else and give me a kiss and left.
As soon as I found out there was no open bar, I left.
I think Kathy was intending on doing that, but we never got around to it.
She was very excited about this, and I like sharing in the things that makes her happy.
Good. And that's important for couples to share those types of things with each other. And one of the things that we talked about is, you know, when do you know not to overshare and when to kind of draw that line? How do you know when that's the right move to make?
I don't know that. I think it's more of an innate judgment than it is something that's measured and quantified or qualified. You just know. Yeah, I mean, and the other thing is just communication.
Mm-hmm.
If it's important for her that I be somewhere, she needs to tell me, and I do the same.
Mm-hmm.
And generally, we're very respectful and responsive.
Mm-hmm. I think that's absolutely important, because a lot of times I think people expect the partner to kind of have this ESP, and you should have known. Well, no, all you have to do is ask. It's really simple. Yeah. So one other thing that I've noticed in doing my research, I've noticed that faith plays a large role in your life, Kyle. And I wonder, Is it necessary for couples to have the same faith and to kind of pursue that together?
Well, I think many faiths deliver the same moire package. And April and I are blessed by having the same moire package as it relates to how we live our life, how we raise children, how we respond to our parents and our siblings, how we respond to the world. So me being a Jew and April not being Jewish really has not been a problem for us. Would it be easier if we were the same faith? Without question. Mm-hmm. But frankly, Judaism is a very easy religion for a Western mind to absorb. So I think the things that are important to me were already a part of April's, if you will, moire package. It wasn't very hard.
Mm-hmm. What do you think, April?
I agree. I didn't grow up in a religious household. I was very close to Kyle's family already. We grew up together. Mm-hmm. And like you said, I was his younger sister, and I have been friends since we were 12. Yeah. So there was a very short learning curve for me. And, you know, we agreed that the younger children would be Jewish. Mm-hmm. My older children are not. Mm-hmm. So I made the decision not to convert.
Mm-hmm. And, but nor did I did not ask her to convert.
Okay. Yeah.
I did not make that request.
And so, it's worked for us. We neither one of our parents or extended families made any demands upon us that we were unwilling to make. And it's just been a lot of love and acceptance all the way around. Mm-hmm. So
it's been interesting because we've really developed a multicultural home. Mm-hmm. One of our older children actually has a quote by Rabbi Hillel tattooed on his body. Mm. The same boy wore a Jewish star for 3 years. Mm-hmm. The other thing I think it's very important for your listeners, especially if any of them are interfaith couples or about to be interfaith couples, is it's very important for people to be in touch with why it's important mm-hmm. for them to have a religion of faith to follow and be able to express that for their partner and say, this is going to be really a guiding star for me as I go forward. And it's important you recognize that. So there are no problems in the future. It's laying out expectations. Yep. It's like any kind of, if you will, transaction you're going mm-hmm. to put together. Mm-hmm. What are the expectations? What can you count on me for? And what do I need from you?
Right. And my husband was raised in a Jewish household and I was raised in a Greek Orthodox household. So we kind of had that same type of conversation. How are we going to handle with baptism and how are we going to handle those types of things? And I agree with you. You just put it out there. You lay that groundwork and say, this is important to me and why it is. Mm-hmm. And then you make that work.
Is father-in-law Murray happy?
He is. I think so. Okay. So let's talk about something else about in terms of how dual career couples can kind of run out of time to be helpful and supportive to each other. This past summer, a young girl was killed tragically after a tree was struck by lightning and a large part of the tree fell on the cabin at her summer camp. And Kyle, you were quoted as saying, "We're all having trouble not crying because we know, but for circumstances, this could be our child." So in dual career relationships, when we find a difficult time to do anything, where do we find the time, A, to grieve, and B, to be supportive to each other in this moment of tragedy and grief?
Well, that was, without question, just a horrific aberration. Mm-hmm. And I think everyone's world came to a screeching halt. Mm-hmm. Careers meant nothing. The only thing that really meant anything was your family and the blessing that you had at home with having children that were still there, recognizing what happened to someone we know. So I think in this instance, there's no question we folded together as a family, all of us, just collapsed upon each other with this. Yeah, this was not one that was very difficult.
Okay.
In terms of coming together, I should say, as a family.
Yeah, agreed. It's just really, people grieve in different kinds of ways, and sometimes people need space. Sometimes they need to talk. Sometimes they need to disappear, depending on what it is. I think that it's just important that your partner give you whatever it is that you need. It's also incumbent upon you, of course, to express constructively what it is that you need. Mm-hmm. And I think we do a good job of that. So under lots of different, we've been very lucky. We've been
incredibly lucky.
So
incredibly fortunate.
And as Kyle said, that circumstance was particularly hard, not just for us. It was for our entire community. Mm-hmm. The white ribbons are still flying, still mm-hmm. tied on the trees in Bexley. And talking to our daughters about all of that really, really makes you focus as a couple on how to communicate hard things to other family members, to people that you love, and small children.
And one of the things that you said, which I really like, that people grieve differently. So sometimes you partners might need space. Sometimes they want to be, you know, held. Sometimes they just don't want to talk. So, you know, dual career, you know, relationships and just relationships in general, it's just important, like you said, just to communicate that. And the onus of responsibility is on that person to say, I need this or I don't want this, because again, we can't read minds. So I think that's also part of your success as well. April, I read an article that you recommended about kindness being the key in the successful relationship. And the article mentions a good book to read too, The Science of Happily Ever After by Toshiro, but also the research done by the Gottman Institute that I mentioned earlier in the program. And again, I'll be putting the link to that article on our website for people to check it out. Clearly you get it. Clearly you guys get it. Is there ever a time, though, where you are just so tired, so exhausted, so frustrated, so stressed out that you don't have the ability to be nice? Or how do you find that ability to kind of pull that out of there?
Absolutely. We're human. Kyle is much better at kindness than I am. He does that naturally all of the time. So taking a moment to center myself and times when I don't want to, it's harder for me. Mm-hmm. But it's something that I actively work on all the time because it's important. Mm-hmm. It's important and it makes a difference. Mm-hmm. So, you know, nothing can make a bad situation turn into a terrible situation faster than being unkind and delivering a message, especially between two people who love each other, because that generally carries so much more implied meaning than whatever the words are that you're trying to say. It's just sort of loads up the situation. Mm-hmm. So always finding or trying to find a moment where you can take a breath and refocus and say what you need to say in a way that it's going to be heard and achieve the goal that you want is really, it's hard to do, but it's so important.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And taking that breath. What about you, Kyle?
Well, it's seemingly not a sequestered thought, the kindness issue. I just finished Joseph Telushkin's book on Jewish values, and he asks, what's the most important thing to look for in a partner? And the answer is kindness in one word. So as I look to the message I wish to give my children about what they should look for in a partner, that's the word I'll stress for them. Find someone that's a kind person.
I couldn't agree more. And April, in the same article that you had mentioned, this particular one that we were just referring to, you were asked whether you think Columbus is going to be getting another skyscraper or should Columbus get another skyscraper. And you said, sure, why not? So my question is, since you guys have the skills, the skill set together to be doing all these projects, are we going to be seeing a cat skyscraper in Columbus?
I don't think you're going to. The only person contemplating a skyscraper right now is Billy Schottenstein, the Millennial Tower. And nice. They are skyscrapers are largely out of vogue right now. We've really gone to more the mid-height buildings that you find more characteristically at, for instance, Arena District. Bridge Park in Dublin now being developed. Projects like Grandview Yard, that's really the model. Mm-hmm. I think what we're looking for in Columbus isn't just skyscrapers. It's energy and it's density, getting people on the street. We're on just off to a slow but great start right now with a lot of momentum. So it's a matter of maintaining that, whether it's skyscrapers or not.
Do you have a project in the works for the, may I say, dynamic duo?
Well, I'm delivering, actually we do. I'm delivering the deco to her in April. She's going to seamlessly put that online, I'm sure. There's another business we're looking at right now. In fact, we've been looking for one or two. There's one we're pretty excited about. We just have been doing due diligence and should have a decision in the next month or two. But it's, again, trading on the same skill sets. Can we do, and that's the first conversation, can we do this happily? Mm-hmm. Will this be something that causes friction for us as a couple or for as a family? Mm-hmm. And we've gone through that discussion and feel that it won't. It was a good, mature discussion, you know.
Yeah, and if this is something we go forward with, it would be a new evolution in our relationship because it would actually be a partnership, a business that we would form together, where now we have separate businesses. You know, there are times that they complement one another. However, this would be a whole new animal. So it's very exciting. We're both very excited about Columbus and the growth and the things that are possible here. And we both have creative minds, which is really so much adds so much fuel to our relationship, just in thinking about what's possible and then how we're going to participate together or apart in achieving what's possible here. So that's a lot of fun for us.
And for us, really, in terms of the new business, what we decided is very simple. That is that we both have areas of concentration and we both have the final words on those areas. But that everyone, I mean, as an example, if it's with branding or development, I can have the final veto. Mm-hmm. April has all the input she desires, but that's mine. And on management, it's the same thing. I can have the input I desire, but the final word is hers.
Okay. Well, thank you for helping us grow and evolve here at UInc today and helping us understand a little bit better how successful dual career relationships work. Thank you very much, Kyle and April, for coming.
Thank you. Thanks for having us. It was fun.
And now, a word from our person on the street.
So, tell me, Bethann, what are your thoughts on dual career relationships?
A lot. Let's see. I work. My husband works. My coworker works. His wife works. My children have jobs at home. And then I have work children, too. So, we have a lot of work.
How do you make that balance happen?
It's kind of like balancing a bunch of plates in a circus. Sometimes they crash, sometimes they stay on. And that's how you have to go. I mean, you may have dirt on your floor, but clean dishes, or you may have dirty dishes in the sink, but a hot meal on the stove. You all have to work it out.
I love that, thinking about that stick with the plate.
But that great. Is. I mean, you know exactly.
No, that was perfect. Thank you.
That's our show for today, folks. Thanks so much for joining me. I'm Rhea Greif, and you've been listening to UInc on 90.5 WCBE.